want to continue, maybe building on a thought there that's been present. It comes largely from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. As Paul is writing to the Christians there, and he exhorts them. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. And it's fitting. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And I was thinking about how you think about the epistles. You go from the Gospels into the history account of Acts with the gospel going forth. And then you come into the epistles and it's about growing as Christians. It's about being the people that God would have us to be. And there are times through some of those instructions, it's the hard work, if you will, of a chisel. I'm going to knock off the rough edges. And there are times there's soothing, there's smoothing work, there's some sanding, there's gentleness. But all of it's about becoming the person that God wants us to be. And that's what Paul's exhorting there. You abound more and more to be the people that you ought to be. And the people here, he's even able to say, you know, you ought to be. I was thinking about how many different times that just readily come to mind. We have such encouragement. We have the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. Think about how fitting that is. What does fruit do? Starts in that bloom and it grows. Ripens is the word I'm looking for there. As it matures. We think about maybe the Christian graces of 2 Peter chapter 1. You add to your faith virtue and you add these things to your life. There's a continual growing. There's a continual maturing that's there. You think about the instruction that's maybe common as we jump to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. There's a time here you ought to be teachers, but now you have someone come back and you have need that they teach you again. You're not where you ought to be because you haven't grown. And then even 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes you desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? That you may grow thereby. And that's the encouragement there. I'm reminded Paul is writing here to the Christians at Thessalonica. That's, again, exactly what the point needs to be. He's writing to Christians. You have the joy and the hope and the expectation here of God's children. There's first, of course, we've got to go back to the book of Acts and how you became those Christians. But largely speaking tonight, I'm sure, to a crowd of those who are. And so we're continue to exhort ourselves. I'm reminded, go back earlier in that same book, 1 Thessalonians. He's not mad at them. He's not upset. This isn't a book that I see as a chisel book. This is a smoothing book. This is a detail book. Because you go back and he says, I know who you are. I'm thankful for who you are. You go back, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, he said, I remember without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, faith, hope, love. They're present there in your life. Not only that, I know how they got there. Acts 17, they came in much affliction. Thessalonica is one of those cities that Paul got driven out of because of the uproar. They would even attack Stephen's house, and the brethren encouraged Paul to move on. And yet they stayed, and they would establish. And so he knows, verse 6, even in the midst of affliction and with joy of the Holy Spirit, this is what you became Christians in. And so he's still exhorting, encouraging. You move into chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. We exhorted and comfort you, even as a father does his children, to what? Walk worthy of God, who has called you into his kingdom and his glory. And so he's encouraging. Chapter 3, verse 8. Now we would live if you stand fast in the Lord. He's thankful. He says, there's a nervousness he expresses here. I just had to know how the Christians were doing at Thessalonica. And I was so happy to hear that you were continuing faithfully. And so in that, we can live and we rejoice. Why? That you stand fast in the Lord. Even there in that same chapter, He's going to say in verse 12, the Lord make you to increase, and notice again, abound in love one towards another. I want you to keep on growing in those things that you need. And so that's the idea we have there as he moves into chapter 4. We beg you, we beseech you, we're pleading with you. You're doing good. Keep it up. Keep growing. You've received of us how you ought to walk. You know the gospel. You know the revelation of God. You know what he would have you to be, what he would have you to do. And so abound more and more. Literally, the idea there is of super abounding. It's the idea of growing or increasing, being in excess. Maybe the one that I like the most, you excel. I guess my point is, I think through all of those things, is it's a reminder to us not to grow complacent, not to grow happy with where we find ourselves in life, but there's a continual challenge. Where am I at? That's good. But keep growing. Keep pressing on. Keep growing in these things as you study through the fruit of the Spirit. I want to keep on growing in those attributes that they're seen in my life, they're reflected in my life for my benefit and for the benefit of those that are around me. And I'll close with this exhortation as he wraps up the book, even there in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. Not just this is what you do for yourself and in your own life, but then turns and encourages them as a collective whole. You do this for one another. You edify, you build one another up. That is, each one of you is growing individually, so also as a body, you're growing together. And that's the encouragement we ought to keep giving to ourselves as we go through this life as well. I'm thankful for the congregation here. We're looking forward to being with you soon, I hope, and working and laboring. You have a great reputation, but all of us can grow together and grow to be more and more the people that God would have us to be. Perhaps there is one tonight who wants to know more about what does God want of me in my life. Oh, we'd love to sit down and study and see not what we want you to be just like us, but we want you to be as God would have you to be, as he's revealed to us. We'd love that opportunity. Perhaps there's one who knows it, just has put it off, maybe even tonight, ready to submit. Bring that strength under control and meekness and obedience to the gospel. Submit themselves as the individuals that we read about time and again through the book of Acts, even as there in Acts chapter 2, would humble themselves to the word of God, to submit themselves unto God, be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of their sins. The Lord would wash those sins away, rise them up as new creatures, add them unto the church. We can have that same joy, that same hope, same expectation even tonight. Perhaps there's one who we've stopped growing. What happens as fruit stops maturing? It rots. It's not growing. It's being destroyed. Once again, we want to grow. We want to be the people that God would have us to be. Perhaps there's one we can pray for, encourage, strengthen even tonight, and hopefully all of us go away with a challenge there to remind ourselves day by day, I want to keep growing, keep abounding, keep growing more and more as God would have us to do. That's the invitation that's open before us tonight. If we could help you with it, wouldn't you let it be known as together we stand as we sing.